an office and I work at home. So usually we, like, we'll come home, do dinner, and watch TV together. Well, this MF-er just disappears on me and goes to the basement without explanation, like, to his little man cave, and doesn't want to spend family time with me and Shiva. So then I go downstairs and I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm watching TV. He goes, I really miss my chair. If he's not an old man, I don't even know what old man is if
that,
it's not him.
That is definitely one of the best Ernie quotes I've ever heard. I miss my chair. He could have at least told you that he was going downstairs. I will have to give him some advice.
Give him a talking to. Also, he has a mustache right now, and I asked him about it, and he goes, it's because I miss Bill. So ask him for a picture later.
I miss that man. Good to see you guys in a couple more weeks.
Yay, so soon, coming up so soon.
Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Don't Go In There. I'm Bill, she is Ashley, and we are here to finish up the Billy Milliken case. I know, it seems like it's been, I was going to say like 2 months, but it almost has been like a month and a half we've been doing this case, so almost.
This is episode number five.
Before we do, I just want to mention our good friends at Magic Mind again. I'll tell you what, guys. I have ran out, so I am about to order some more. I'm drinking a little bit too much coffee now, and I get that coffee tummy. I hate it. The Magic Mind did the exact same thing that, you know, 2-3 cups of coffee would do for me. I just take almost a half a cup of coffee now with my Magic Mind. It helps my production. It helps me be more clear, like clear-headed. It's really nice. And Ash, you just had yours. How'd it go? I know you didn't get as many, but we're giving it a shot.
Yeah, you finally sent me my package. I think I had like 5 or 6 in there, but I really liked it. It does taste like green tea, like we were talking about, and it's better when it's chilled. But it made me more focused in the morning. Like I wake up kind of groggy, like it's hard to start my day. But when I took this with my coffee, I was very productive. I was more focused. I had a lot more energy. I didn't take my little afternoon nappy that I sometimes take. So I think I will be ordering some more as well.
Yeah. And what I really like about it is the lion's mane and cordyceps mushrooms in it, because it's like a natural nootropic. You don't have to, you know, worry about, you know, what's in this thing. Is it a bunch of crap? No, it's a bunch of things made in nature. Stuff. Yeah. It's a lot of good stuff that helps with your clarity, your focus. So I would highly recommend it. If you guys could just go to www.magicmind.co/don't go. And then you can enter our promo code in there, don't go 20. And you'll get 40% off your first subscription or 20% off your first one-time purchase. So again, guys, that's magicmind.co/don't go. Promo code don't go 20.
Awesome. Yeah. And guys, check us out on social media. So our Instagram is @don't_go_in_there. We just post, you know, the stories that we're covering. If you want us to cover something, let us know. And our promo code for Magic Mind is there because they are friends with us. Facebook, we have a page and group. Join our little community. TikTok. We have one of those. So check out our little videos. We're still trying to navigate that. So, you know, come be our friend there. And then don't forget to send us an email. don'tgointhere19@gmail.com. And then on all your podcast platforms, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us. Let us know how we're doing so we can climb those charts.
Absolutely. Nothing helps us out better than you guys giving us honest reviews and letting people know about us. So, Ash, I just hit enter on my button and lost my place. So, give me 1 second to get back. All right, there we go. So,
Didn't want to go in there.
Yeah, no. It's going to be a little wild today. Jim, if we remember Jim, Billy's brother, had called the FBI, told him where he was, kind of things. So the FBI showed up in Florida, correct? Well, Billy...
Yeah, he was in Florida.
Yeah, Florida. So when Billy was at that convention, that hotel that had the law enforcement convention. He was just hanging out.
Isn't that bananas?
It's He's crazy.
Just hanging out with cops.
Yeah. He called his aunt, who, if you remember, the FBI agents were at her house. He said, you know, I'll be home soon. I'm just hanging out at this hotel. Well, I mean, why wouldn't you? The FBI went down and found him sitting at the bar with his attorney. Well, soon after he was taken into custody, the Seattle office of the FBI alerts the FBI agents working on Billy's case that a man went missing in that area of Bellingham, and that man was Michael Madden. And that's who we're going to talk about at the beginning of today. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened then, and then kind of get into Billy's return home. And kind of finish it off from there. There's a couple other crazinesses that I don't want to give out, so let's go in there.
Let's go.
In the month of September 1986, Michael Madden's father reported him missing when he hadn't heard from him in a while. So there was like probably a couple weeks where he just didn't hear from his son. Now, I know it's 1986, you don't have cell phones and stuff like that, so you probably didn't hear from your loved ones every day. In some sort of fashion, even now, like you might not hear from them directly, but you'll see a post on Twitter or Facebook. So, you know, there's something going on. But back then, I'm sure like a couple days was okay. But once a week went by, you don't hear from your kid. That's kind of weird. The police did an investigation where they spoke to friends, neighbors, his landlord, and even a fella named Christopher Carr. Now, if you remember, Christopher Carr was Billy Milligan's little name that he chose when he moved to Bellingham, because remember, he did the fake ID, the fake social security number, remember all that stuff that one producer guy gave him, all that
the producer helped him.
Yep. While the police were interviewing the landlord, she stated that she last saw him on September 15th outside of his apartment with none other than Christopher Carr. So last person he was seen with alive. We all know how that usually ends up.
Terrible.
Yeah. The two seemed to be arguing with each other. This would be the last time Michael Madden would be seen by another person. So, once again, last person he was seen with alive. And, of course, they were arguing at that time. So, I mean, it doesn't take...
Doesn't look good.
It doesn't take a detective. I mean, I am a detective, and I could figure this one out, you know? Police discovered that Christopher Carr had opened a joint checking account with Michael and was depositing checks that Michael was receiving for disability from the armed services. It is believed that when Michael arrived home on September 14th, that he found his checks were missing. So he came back. He must have took like a little stint. Either it didn't really say where he was, but I'm assuming maybe it had to do something with the armed forces or something. But when he came back, he confronted Christopher on the 15th about, you know, why are my checks missing? Where are my checks at? Why are, you know, I don't even know. He might have even known that he was cashing them because it's a joint checking account.
Well, I wonder if he even knew he had a joint checking account, since it seems like they could just easily fake documents back then.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I wish I kind of knew a little bit more, but I mean... We hear this was very popular back then. Yeah, I mean, how many times have you heard about, you know, social security checks? I mean, even now. After they kill somebody, they don't report them. They put them in the basement and then they just collect their checks every month and they cash them because they were put on maybe some joint checking account with them or something.
Yeah, because they're like, air quotes, taking care of them.
Yeah, exactly. So the checks are always signed over to them. Christopher even went to cash Michael's check on September 18th and then sold Michael's car. So this is 3 days after he was seen, last seen. So 3 days after he was seen by the landlord, Christopher went out, cashed his last check on the 18th, and then sold Michael's car. The Bellingham police...
It's not looking good at all.
No, not at all. The Bellingham police realized that Christopher was Billy Milligan when the FBI agents came out and spoke with him. The police contacted Milligan's cousin who was living in the area. The cousin stated that Billy was not at the house, but did leave some personal belongings there. Now, when I'm saying Billy, it's Christopher. Just
Interchangeable.
Just interchangeable. So just little side note.
One of his many, it's not personalities, but now many names.
Well, I guess, this one just, he actually knows about. When the police looked through this house, they found some jewelry, a watch, a pair of broken glasses. Now, these pair of broken glasses, put a little asterisk next to them and remember them. The frame of the glasses matches those of Michael Madden's and appeared to have specks of blood on them. However, we all know at this time, there is no DNA. So, I mean, they're right on the cusp of DNA being released. I mean, it's 1986, and I can't remember the exact year it came out, but it's within the next 10 years. But at this moment, there is no DNA available, or at least available where a small town can afford to get it processed. They could not get a pathologist to say that the blood on the glasses meant somebody was dead. So they had no DNA, no body, and no evidence of crime had been committed.
No body, no crime.
No body, no crime. Are you putting that on a t-shirt? If you guys don't understand what we're saying, you guys need to watch Psych to get all of our references. So I'm very sorry about that.
Yeah, I feel like this should be like a true crime, paranormal, / Psych reference.
Absolutely. Well, if we see everything that we see that he has all this stuff at his cousin's house, jewelry, a watch, a pair of broken glasses, what does this remind you of? Trophies. He's keeping his trophies again, just like he, I think, back when he committed the rapes, they did find some stuff with him then, too.
I was going to say, didn't he, like, keep a watch or something?
Yeah, I can't remember the exact thing.
I don't know why I'm thinking about a watch.
Well, because I just said watch. That's probably why.
Oh.
No, I can't remember what it was he held, but I know they found little trophies in his house after the rapes were committed. So they have no body, no crime. They can't even find where Michael Madden is just because that matches his glasses. They have no fingerprints off the glasses. They have nothing tying Michael to it besides those are the same glasses. I mean, it's all circumstantial. I'm sure they could have did something with it, but back then there was not a lot of technology. Jim, Billy's brother, recalled a weekend when Billy claimed to be at a party and could not get a hold of him. He did not know where he was or who he was with. So for a whole weekend, Jim was like, I don't know where he is. He's usually, he usually calls me through the weekend. Don't know where he's at. This just so happens to line up with the weekend that police believe Michael went missing. No evidence of that, circumstantial, but a lot of people think when you say circumstantial case or evidence that it's like no good. Well, when you have circumstance after circumstance after circumstance line up, it kind of starts mailing its own case. Just because it's circumstantial does not mean it's not good. It just means there's other circumstances that could have meant that. But if you have, a whole line of circumstances that line up, it builds a good case.
Yeah, I was going to say, one or two things could be a coincidence, but with him, it's literally checking off every box. You're the last one to see him. You have his checks. You sold his car. You were gone for that weekend. It's just not looking good.
And no, and that's the thing about Billy. It never looks good with everything around him, but somehow he skates off scot-free. Also, Jim remembered that Billy returned all of his diving equipment to him, except the weighted belt, and believes that Billy may have dumped a body in the lake.
Yeah. I mean, at least he's using a weighted belt, because when Billy do it, they don't, and then the body floats to the surface. Not that I'm giving you ideas, I'm just saying.
just saying, we are not advocating murders of people.
Yeah, return the weighted belt.
Return a weighted belt. that's what this podcast is about.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Michael's never been found. So this is still an unsolved case. I mean, let's be serious. Billy killed him. Allegedly killed him.
Allegedly, but wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
We know.
It... Let's just say all the evidence lines up.
It's just so weird, but that this was his only guy murder, right?
Or is it?
Okay. I'm getting eyes, so let's keep going.
Let's keep going. Okay, so Billy now is going to return home because, I mean, now he's caught, all this stuff. So in 1986, in the month of November, Billy was flown back to Columbus and back into the care of Dr. Linder. Soon after his return, Billy goes on a hunger strike due to his lack of will to live. And if we remember, he does not like Dr. Linder at all because Dr. Linder thinks he's lying, does not give him the correct medication, and I don't really think likes Billy all that much anyway, so just makes his life a living hell. Or as many thought, he was doing this hunger strike because, of course, it got out to the media for attention. And one thing that we know about Billy, once, you know, the attention goes down, he starts acting up again and to get some of that light back onto him, that focus. After 50 days of the hunger strike, Billy ended it, and the hospital was forced to bring in an outside doctor who worked on Billy's attorneys. Worked with Billy's attorneys to petition the court for his release and work with an outpatient service. The judge wanted Billy to be evaluated, so he sent him to Boston to be evaluated by McLean Hospital under Dr. Chu's care for 1 week. Dr. Chu stated that he felt Billy was trying to manipulate him, but did not find him to be a dangerous person and concluded that Billy could be released.
What?
I know,
right? How?
I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, every time it's just like he knows when to turn on the crazy, get people to look at him again, and then he gets released. It's like a recipe. It's like steps.
Yeah, he definitely has it down pat. But even the doctor said he felt like Billy was trying to manipulate him.
Yeah.
And so, still said,
yeah,
okay.
You were manipulated. He did not try. He did it.
Yeah.
You definitely knew he was doing it, and you still got manipulated.
That's, unfortunately, that's a really crazy skill that he has.
Honestly, it is. It's really good. Soon Billy's troubles came back. His girlfriend, Tracy, called Billy's former brother-in-law. So this is like, connect the dots here. So I'm going to go through that again.
Because remember, Billy was married, and then the girl ran off after like 40 days or something.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, I think this is his sister's ex-husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Tracy, I believe, is the tennis player, if we remember correctly. So, girlfriend, Tracy, and Billy's former brother-in-law, his sister's husband, Tracy calls him, told him that Billy had been threatening to kill her and asked if he would spend the night. He agreed, and during this day, Billy called and advised Tracy that he knew Rob was there. So I don't know how he knew Rob was there, but he knew Rob was there. Billy said, "You realize I can come over there and kill you both, and there's nothing they can do about it because they know I'm mentally ill." This is all from Rob's mouth.
Tracy, but someone had to be feeding him information.
Well, not only that, like, he knows. Like, he's got away with almost just about everything. Or if he didn't get away with it, he got a slap on the wrist, to say the least. And he's starting to realize that he can pretty much do anything he wants. And probably, I mean, go to a mental hospital at the most. And the ones that he gets to go to, except when he's with Dr. Linder, they kind of just let him do his own thing.
I know. It's kind of amazing that he's never been thrown in, like, prison or jail. Like, he's always, I mean, every once in a while, but it's mostly mental hospitals that he knows how to get out of.
I mean, the worst one he went to is that one that was a high security mental hospital, which we know that it's not something you want to be in the 70s or 80s, but it still wasn't prison. And he wasn't, you know, dealing with prisoners. He was dealing with other mentally ill patients.
Yeah.
Tracy also told the police that Billy confessed to her, saying the cops were so stupid that they didn't even realize that he had Michael Madden's glasses on him at the time of the arrest with his blood on it, and that he had killed a black man in Logan, Ohio.
So, I just thought you were going to say Logan, Utah, and I was going to be like, what?
No. No. So now you see that he confesses to killing a black man in Logan, Ohio. So you said it. Michael Madden might have been his only male. I think not. And we're going to get in why. So Dwayne Cox, his mother contacted Kathy Jo, Billy's sister, one night. And now I just want to preface this. This is pretty far back. I think this was his early 20s, maybe. Maybe late teens, early 20s, somewhere around there. They didn't have a date. But Dwayne Cox's mom contacted Kathy Jo one night about her concern for Dwayne. Or it's D-W-A-N. I'm not sure. I think it's Dwayne. It might be Dwan.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. That he hadn't come home for a few nights prior, which was not usual for him. The police had found his car abandoned in Logan, Ohio area. Kathy Jo asked Billy about Dwan, and Billy stated that he did know him and that they were down around Old Man's Cave smoking pot. But he did not know where Dwayne was. Rob, remember the former brother-in-law, recalled that the time that Billy was riding up on a motorcycle and gave Kathy a large amount of money. People speculate that Billy had something to do with Dwayne's murder, as well as where he is getting all this money from. And Dwayne Cox has never been found.
That's insane that two people that Billy interacted with disappeared, allegedly murdered, and have, like, nothing has been found.
It's one of the most unbelievable, cases I've ever seen. Like, two people last seen, well, I can't say that he was last seen with Dwayne, but he knew he was with him around the time he went and disappeared, and said he was in this old man's cave, which sounds remote to me, kind of like the lake thing where Billy went diving. And then ends up with a bunch of money and a motorcycle out of nowhere. I don't know.
I mean, it's not adding up for sure.
That is for sure. So remember when we talked about like Billy having all these paintings and movie script ideas and books written about him, and he was just giving everybody out, like, you can have the rights. And he was like Oprah with the rights. You know, you get my rights. You get my rights. Well, the movie actually almost came to, like, the biggest screen with some of the largest actors and producers working on the film.
Wow.
There was talks that Leonardo DiCaprio was set to play Billy and that James Cameron had actually came out to Ohio to meet with Billy to be taken to the area where the rapes occurred. Cameron and Milligan agreed to make the movie, and they flew back to L.A. Well, I guess I'm assuming it's not really told to me how he gets this money, but I'm assuming it's almost like when you write a book, like some production agencies or publishers will front you the money, but you have to write the book. Or they'll front you the money after you write the book, and then they have to make their money back type of thing when they sell it. But somehow Billy got a bunch of fucking money, and he was put up in fancy hotels. He had all the drugs and alcohol he wanted. He was basically living like a rock star in Hollywood.
This is the most insane turn.
I know. I almost feel like I got duped. I almost feel like I got duped, like with the smiley face killer one that I did. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, when I watched the mockumentary and thought it was a real documentary.
Yeah.
I researched for like a half hour just to make sure this was true, because some of the shit they were saying, like, I mean, I can't even believe this. And if this is not true, we are going to look like such idiots.
I hope someone would let us know, but this sounds insane. How do you go from like a mental hospital to being you know, consulted on, you know, with Leonardo DiCaprio and movie stars about your, you know, your life, and then being put up in a hotel with all the drugs and alcohol you want.
Yeah, and of course he's probably going to be visiting the ladies of the night, you know.
Yeah.
As James Cameron pursued the life of Billy, he found that a woman named Sandy, I'm going to say this, Acara, A-R-C-A-R-A, actually owned the rights to Billy's story. This is where it's also getting a little crazy, because Billy literally just handed out the rights to everybody. And she was the only one that come forward. And I think even Rob owned a little bit. Like, he got proceedings of the one book that came out. Billy never sold the proceedings because he kept on selling his story. Which Billy offered to... Oh, yeah, I just said that. Billy just offered to everybody, including Rob. He was set to make 75% of the first book and 100% of the second book. And that was Rob. Rob was supposed to make that, not Billy.
So why wouldn't Billy want to keep his rights and make the money?
Because he's a crazy person.
Or would he even see that money because of the court cases? So he can't get the royalties, but...
Yeah, so maybe he's just like, you can make my money. But other people can. Yeah, you can make my money and pay me.
Oh, sneaky sneak.
He could do that. I don't know. That's a pretty good idea. Acara... Sandy sued James Cameron for a larger amount of $1.5 million, which I guess happens a lot, especially when people own the rights, because in the thing that said James Cameron went to Fox, which was the studio, and said, hey, I just need this money, cover the lawsuit, and we'll have the rights. We'll just pay the lady off. Fox was like, nah, we're not doing that. And they dropped the project. Just like that. Dropped.
I mean, yeah, they can either pay or not, and the project gets made or it doesn't.
And this is where everything starts to go downhill. Finally. He's been going way too long, having way too good of a life.
I was gonna say, he was having a pretty good ride for a while.
Yes, he was.
With everything, including murder.
Yeah. Possibly two murders.
Possibly. Allegedly.
Billy started getting billed for every day that he stayed in the mental health facility, and he was supposed to be paying his office attorney fees. So he's getting all these bills from all the medical places, and then his attorney's like, I need paid too. Well, surprise, he had no money left at all. It was all gone. Whatever he did have from the movie, it was gone. So he had declared bankruptcy, and that bankruptcy took jurisdiction and would receive the royalties from the book to pay back the creditors. So he was no longer making any money at all. I know it seems a little confusing what I'm saying, like he's making money, but these other people were making money off the book. It really doesn't go into that stuff. I'm just assuming that Billy made a little bit off of the royalties. And then as the courts started moving towards him not being able to make the money, that's when everybody else started making the money off of his rights. Because I guess we just had that theory of maybe somebody else can make the money and then they pay me a little bit. Pay Billy a little bit.
Yeah. A little under the table.
But now it doesn't matter. They're taking all the proceedings of all the royalties of the books to pay back the creditors that he filed for bankruptcy on. Billy then moved to probably the worst city that he probably could have moved to. And I'm going to give you one guess. We were just
still
there.
Still in Ohio?
We were just there.
What?
We were all just there.
Vegas.
Yeah, he moved to Vegas.
Vegas. That's not the worst city.
He could move to.
For him.
Yes, for him. No, I like Vegas. I'm saying for him to move to is probably Vegas. Yeah.
That was a terrible idea.
Yeah. I should say that his luck started to turn back because he was winning a lot of money. Tens of thousands of dollars at a time.
I'm going to win that when we go.
Yeah, I get happy when I win tens of dollars at a time.
Just want to win my 20 back.
Or when a certain wife starts on her little – I don't even know what that jackpot was, but I come back and there's $150 missing.
We all encouraged her. It was
you encouraged her. It was not me. You two did. He would also get his fair share of trouble, though. He would constantly threaten people to kill people, including judges, when he would land in jail. So he would constantly like have little things like disorderly conducts, trespassing, stuff like that would land him in the county jail. And then he'd come to his, meet with the judge after being in jail for the weekend or whatever, and he would tell the judge he'd kill him.
And then how did that judge be like, okay?
Because it's probably Vegas, and he probably
see it all the time.
Yeah, it's Vegas.
It's Vegas.
He'd eventually have to give up the Vegas life and move back to Ohio, where he lived on his sister's property in a trailer. In 2012, he was diagnosed with cancer. During his fight with cancer, he confessed to his niece that he had killed people and wanted to know if God would forgive him. In 2014, Billy died of cancer in Columbus, Ohio. So,
that's he annoying.
Confessed on his deathbed that he killed people. He never gave the names of the people that he killed. You kind of wish that he would have, just for some, closure for those families. But he didn't. He just wanted to know if God would forgive him. So, once again, made it about himself. Just like with a lot of these people, they do things just for their own pleasure and what they want to do.
I think it's so interesting, though, that once they all get on their deathbed, they confess to whether, their crimes, or maybe it's exaggerated, maybe it's not. But then they all have the same, like, will God forgive me? It's like, you should have thought about this when you were committing crimes.
Yeah, right. But the biggest question here is, was he really suffering from multiple personality disorder? Because in his later ones, like the Michael Madden, when he was flown back to Columbus, you don't hear about his multiple personalities later in his later crimes or his later involvement with James Cameron or the FBI. You don't hear about the other personalities coming out at all. It's just him. Or is it one of the other personalities that just took completely over?
Oh yeah, like they were just like, okay, enough of you, Billy, and just permanently took over.
Yeah,
it's all... I know he had the other name for just an alias, but maybe it was a cover up.
Oh, it could have been. Yeah. I want to say that he was full of shit. But
yeah.
At the same time, that's a long time to do that.
It is a long time to do that, but he was so good at manipulating people, turning situations into his favor. I think it was a very long con that he had a ton of time in his childhood to practice, because he didn't have the greatest childhood.
That's true. It could also be a little bit of A, a little bit of B. He was a bad person that suffered from a mental illness, and he took advantage of people. I mean, it's totally possible. Just because you have a mental illness does not mean you're any different from anybody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just means that you have to deal with something that most people don't have to deal with.
Exactly.
Well, Ash, that wraps up the Billy Milligan story. Sorry, it's a little shorter of an episode today. But
it's a lot to process.
It's a lot to process, and it was a lot to break up into episodes. And I was like, well, we either do like an hour and a half episodes, or we just, kind of just go with the flow. I wanted to have natural breaks in it, and this is where it ended up. So, sorry guys, this week you just hear a little bit less of us, but we will be back next week with some more of us. So,
some more of us, some more spooky stuff next week.
Ooh, that's right. We're doing some paranormal next week.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I got a good spooky one.
Oh, nice. I like it. I am also working on another multi-part episode. As soon as I have that done, we'll cover that. I think the next two are going to be paranormal, though. Correct?
Yep.
So I'm excited. I'm excited to be back, and I'm excited to do some more paranormal because I've been watching the new Ghost Adventures House Call. It's a little weird.
Oh, I have too. It's crazy.
I want to know why he's not there.
I know. I was thinking that too. I'm like, why is he on Zoom and just sending his people out? But
I think this is during COVID because they are all still wearing masks. We all know that he has a respiratory problem. So I wonder if he is just saying, nope, I'm not going.
I mean, probably. That would be smart
for him. Or maybe he's just a little tired. He could be a little sleepy.
He has a lot going on. He got his museum. I know he's buying other properties. He has like 18,000 shows.
That's true. He does have like 18,000 shows.
I want to go back to his museum.
Oh, I know. I don't know. I got that one room with the van. That was kind of crazy. Yeah. I did not like the
Kevorkian van.
If you guys want to know more about it, I think we have a Vegas episode. Yes. We have a Vegas episode. Go back. Go listen to that. Find out what happened to me when I walked into the doctor's van room. So.
Yeah. And if you're interested, you could check it out on social media. Instagram. @don't_go_in_there. We have all of our pictures that we post about stories. We have a friend to Magic Mind, and we do have a picture of Bill and his scratches from Vegas. But we'll be posting stuff about Billy Milligan, obviously. Our Facebook page and group, join our little community. Let us know what you guys want us to cover or talk about, and let us know how we're doing. Tiki Talk, get on the Tiki Talk. Check out our videos, and we're going to be posting some more stuff, so check us out, be our friends there. And then email us at don'tgointhere19@gmail.com. Anything, questions, comments, stories you want us to cover, let us know. We do true crime and paranormal. And then subscribe and give us a little rate and review on all your podcast platforms.
Yep. And just, guys, just remember, it does help for you to rate and review us and then also let other people know about us. Gets us out there, gets us more exposure, and hopefully bringing you better stuff. Well, Ash, do you have anything else for anybody?
No, I think that's it for this week.
All right, guys, remember, don't go in there.